Some may not want to know me.
That's all right. I'm like a 10-year-old child who is surrounded by a bunch of his superheroes. I have some of my heroes here with me today. David and Zach Vernon, Brother Cliff Taylor, Haynes, my pastor at McVeigh. And the reason why they're my heroes is, I don't set them on a pedestal for any light thing. But I do put them up there because they're not afraid to preach what needs to be preached. They're not afraid to tell the people what needs to be told. And it's a disease that's running so rampant in our churches today. That men of God, so-called preachers, they get up there and they tell the people what they want and not what they need.
That's right.
And it's bred corruption in our churches. It's hurting the people that are sitting in our pews today. I believe that with my whole heart. I've only been saved a few short years. And already in the things that I've seen in the churches I've been in, I see that compromise of these so-called men of God. Sometimes I'd sure like to stand up and say a few things. I just keep my mouth closed and go, God help us. God help us in this thing. God, you're the only one that can ever do anything for us. You're the only one that's going to get this thing right. But we need some men who are not going to be afraid to stand up and tell the people what they need. Hey, I see people come up here, they give testimonies of, I'm going to go be a pastor and I'm going to go be a preacher and you know this, I'm so happy about this and that. Well, let me just tell you something, buddy. If you were out there doing what God wanted you to do, you're going to see that it's not the easiest thing to tell people what they need. You're going to hurt some people in your congregation. Not on purpose. Right here. I'm sorry to tell you this, but this book here is going to tell people, it's going to show them what they are, and the people aren't going to want to see what they are. But I thank God. I thank God that He was merciful unto me, and He showed me what I was. He took my heart out and put it in front of me, and He showed me what kind of person I was. And He said, you need to get rid of this thing. And you know what else He brought in my life? A man who wasn't afraid to preach a Bible. He wasn't afraid to stand there and say things to my face as a man. Me and his brother Zach talked about that last night or the night before. You gotta watch what you say anymore. You might offend somebody. They can't even tell. Somebody who's so-called, supposedly be a man. If they need to be told something, and you can't tell them, because they get so effeminate with their feelings.
That's right.
Hey, I still struggle with some of that. You know, I'm just going to tell you this right now. For 40 years, I lived for the devil. For 40 years, I was out there living in the streets as a drug addict, alcoholic, you know, gang member, all that kind of stuff. I was out there. You know what? I called myself a man, and I was one of the most effeminate things to ever walk in this church.
That's good.
But I had a man that Jesus Christ sent my way, that would stand there and tell me things to my face, no matter how mad it got. He would tell me what I needed to hear. And at the time, I would just be furious. I mean, absolutely furious to the point my wife thought, oh my gosh, she's going to punch that pastor. I really felt like hitting him. But he looked me in my face and said, no, that you hit me, that's not going to change my love for you. He knew that I needed to be dealt with like a man, not a child. He knew that I needed to be dealt with the way the King James Bible, Jesus Christ sat there and called people all kinds of things. He wasn't afraid to be a man and tell them what they needed to hear. How dare a pastor or a preacher do the same thing? But that's where we are in society. That's where we are in our so-called Baptist churches today. To stand up there and be a man and say what you have to say, it's becoming a lost art anymore. I've just been saved 3.5, almost 4 years, and already I see that as a horrible disease in our church. But I thank God that I have some of my heroes that are here, sitting here today, and I'm not afraid. Hey, you know what? One of my heroes is a 23-year-old kid sitting right there who's not afraid to preach what God gives him.
Amen.
I'm 20 years older than him. I have much respect for him as a man of God, not as some kid. As a man of God, because that's who God called him to be. And you know what? He's not afraid to get up here and preach what God gives him.
Amen.
And we need that in America today. We need that for those so-called tough guys. I used to be a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy anymore. I don't want to be a tough guy. You can have that. You can play with it. You can do whatever you want with it. But it never got me anywhere. God got me the 17-page rap sheet. Got me a whole bunch of charges, a whole bunch of drugs and alcohol. Got me into a whole mess of things. Being a tough guy. But you mess with my family, and I can sure defend them. I will defend my family. But I don't have to walk around here like a tough guy, you know, trying to intimidate people. I don't need to do that. I'll just preach a King James Bible regardless who likes it. I'll live this Bible here. But even more importantly, I will take this home with me and raise my family.
Right.
I was talking to Zach last night. I said, Zach, I know you travel around. I said, I'm just going to let you know this. What you see is what you get. I said, that Christian that you see standing in church is that Christian you see in my home. He looked at me and said, I believe that. I strive for that.
Amen.
I strive. I pray daily for. I pray daily that the Lord would just give me the strength to keep me and my family surrounded by His Word, doing what He have me to do. Now, does that make me a perfect person? Oh no, it doesn't make me perfect.
Yeah.
I struggle. Matter of fact, this week I'm struggling. I'm going through some things. But you know what? I've come to the point in my life where I don't run from them and shut it down. I face them. I face them. I get together, and while you guys are at home sleeping at night, I'm sitting at the kitchen table asking the Lord, show me. Just show me. If you're going to show me, let's just get this thing right. Let's do this thing. I understand where I stand with Him. I understand right now I'm being a rebel. Carnal. Not doing what He had me to do. Some of you go, well, gosh, you're a pretty good Christian. I'm glad you think that, because my God doesn't.
Amen, brother.
I'm just being honest with you. I see some of these guys get up here and it kills me. When they sit there and I talk like they're walking on tulips and tiptoe and everything's so good and fine and dandy all the time. And I do get that. Don't you dare get me wrong. But I know this. I love my children and I correct them. My Father loves me and He corrects me. Tells me to strap the boots on. It's time to get going. If you would, turn with me real quick. I hope this is fresh water, if not, I'm drinking it. 1 Kings 22. Oh, yeah. It's been a good week. I thank God for being here. 1 Kings 22. We're going to start in verse 8. One of my heroes that we're going to read about today. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony in the Bible that He's given us. And so I'm going to start in verse 8, and it says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doeth not prophesy good concerning me by evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes and a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenra, made him horns of iron. And he said, and I'm still not good at pronouncing names, so forgive me. I don't have that down yet. That this saith the Lord, with these that shall push the Syrians until they have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone called Micah and spoke to him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them. And we speak, and speak that which is good. Here we have the kings and they're calling and saying, we need somebody to tell us something good. And so, well, we have one, his name is Micah, but we hate him. And you'll come as you read more of the story, the reason why they end up hating him, because he's not the one that's going to give them what they want.
That's right.
He's going to tell them what they need.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
And they hate him for it. That's what it says.
That's right.
They're going to call him and he's going to come and he's going to tell them exactly what they need to hear. And they have hate in their heart. It's murder. They're murderers. They're just like the father and the devil. There's murder. There's no truth in them.
Try.
We have preachers and evangelists and pastors.
pastors and so on and so forth, who are these very people.
Right.
They're the king's prophets. You know what they want to do? They want to tell everybody exactly what they want to hear. They're afraid of losing their paycheck.
That's what it is.
Afraid of losing their support.
Exactly right, yeah.
What has become more important to these men than a person's soul? That's what it is. I have two children right here that are not saved. But one claims to be saved, and we're raising her that way. But I have another one who's not saved. Should I tell them a lie? Should I tell them the truth? Should I tell them that's something that might make them comfortable? Or am I going to stand and be a man and tell my son what he needs to hear? God forbid if I ever get into that filthiness where I tell my wife and children something that they want and not what we need.
That's right.
Man, I know in order to be a bishop, it says we have to have our houses in order. I'm just telling you right now, you can't be man enough to run your house the way God would have you run your house. God forbid if you get behind the pulpit and try to be a man of God.
Right.
Just telling you. Hey, you go ahead. That's what God says about the office of a bishop, not me. Not me. Got your house in order? I'm not perfect at it. I can't be a bishop anyway, and I'm all right with that. I don't desire that office. But what I do desire is to be like Micah and be the one that's hated for telling the truth. I have people who can't stand me because of what I say, and I'm okay with that. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
God.
I'd rather be obedient. I know there's many times, brothers, that I'm sitting there and I feel like I'm in the trenches and I'm in that thing and I'm by myself and I just want to reach up. And I want to touch, and there's no, I can't seem to find anybody with me. But I'm okay with that because God comes to me and says, I'm with you.
Amen.
I'm with you. There's some in this room that are sitting here today that I know for sure that are in this thing to tell people the truth. They care about souls. They care about that one that's sitting there today that just may take one more step and that'd be their last step, and they'll fall into an eternity of hell. There's people who care for people's souls. Oh, they didn't like him. They hated him because he would go out and tell the truth. But let me just see. We're going to go on here. And we're going to see that in verse 8 it says, And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man named Micah, the son of Imla, by whom the way we inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. They hate him. Because they know that he's going to tell the truth. But here, let's go read it. Verse 14, what it says is, and Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that I will speak.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I asked my wife, I came over and said, Amy, I know the Lord gave me a few messages. I just don't know which one. I'm trying to get the Lord's mind in this thing. I need to get up there today, and I need to say what the Lord will give me, not what I want to give people. I need to be obedient to what God wants, and I'm praying the whole time, all the way up, until finally Tim said, all right, Brother Dale. Because I wanted to make sure that I had God's mind in this thing. God forbid if I ever got up here and spoke what I thought. I could sure lead you astray pretty quickly.
Sure.
But I know. I know. That I am preaching exactly what God would have me to preach. About telling people what they need. Mm. Not what they want. And this is what he's talking about. He says, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, I will speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, should we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or should we forbear? And he answered, and I believe that Micah had a sense of humor here. He says, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver thee in the hands of the king. He told them what they wanted to hear. Right. I'm sure he's looking at the other prophets going, that what you wanted? That what you wanted me to say?
That's right.
Are you happy now? Because now I'm about to tell you what I really think the Lord gave me. Now I'm about to really tell you what the Lord gave me. Are you happy that I gave you that little bit of that? That made you all happy now? The king's going to look down and say, oh, yeah.
Because I'm really going to tell you what the Lord is really thinking. He says here, verse 16, he says, and he says to the king unto them, how many times shall I endure? Let me go back to verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said, Micah, shall we go against Ramah Gilead for battle, or should forbear? And the answer says, go and prosper and deliver them to the king's hand. He told them what they wanted to hear. And then he says, how many times shall I endure thee, that thou tell me nothing but what is true in the name of the Lord? Verse 17 says, and he said, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as a sheep have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that thou would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear therefore the word of the Lord. The very thing that was given to Micah to tell them, they're sitting there saying, see, I told you he was going to say evil. There are people sitting in these church pews today who believe what God has given them in a message this week is evil. That's what it said.
I believe that.
I told you he'd tell something evil about me. That's what they said.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Hey, I believe the men got up here, they weren't telling us anything evil. They were telling us because we have a God who loves us and put something on their heart for them to preach to us, to pay attention to, that when we walk out of this place, we can go home, get on our face, and say, Lord, right. Help me.
Right.
Help me with this matter.
Amen.
I know me and my wife sat at that table last night for a couple hours talking about the matter that's in our hearts. I said, you know, we're not going to run from this thing, Amy. Running has never done any good for us. Running never got us anywhere in the past. We need to just face God and say, Lord, I'm not resisting. Go ahead and make this thing right. Let's go ahead and get this thing right, Lord. Us and you. We need us and you. That's right. She's my weaker vessel. And when I see her hurt, I better get running. I better get to her and say, let's go. Let's find out what's going on. I better get in the Bible. I better share the Bible with my wife. We better pray together. We better get this thing right. Because there's something going on, and the Lord has put me in her life for that reason. I believe the Lord has a soft heart for my wife. I believe that. I believe he knows that he can whoop me, and as hard as it is, I'll take it. But he wants me to be the rock for my wife. He wants me to be able to sit there and help her and figure out what's going on and pray together. Oh, did I say pray together? Yes, we pray together. We read together. We do all that as a family. Why? Because I'm just telling you now, there is power here. Most of you know my testimony. I didn't know how to be a husband or a dad or any such thing. But you know what? The Lord sure has taught me. He's gave me some men that I can look up to. But you know what else I didn't consider? I didn't consider what the Lord said evil. You guys have heard the gospel here today. You believe you've been preached evil.
Oh, so here.
Just telling you. You know it. Thus saith the Lord. Oh. Thus saith the Lord. I told you he'd say no good thing. I told you he wouldn't let it. I told you he wouldn't say what we wanted to hear. I told you he's going to go back into that King James Bible thing. Yep. You know it. You know it to be the truth. Let me tell you something. When I go out there and I work with people in society, you know what I tell them? I don't have a pill for you. I don't have a magic potion. I don't have any of that stuff. You know what I have? I have Jesus Christ in the King James Bible. Do you want the help? Oh, ah. I don't have a microwave help for you. I know we live in a microwave society. Everybody wants instant help. But I don't have that. You know why? Because God's got to get in and show you your dirty heart. He's got to work a miracle on that thing. You know, most people come up to the altars, they have a broken spirit and a broken heart. They can't get to the place of contrition because there's a man of God supposedly up there telling what they want, not what they need.
preaching the King James Bible the way we're supposed to preach the King James Bible, how are they ever going to get to that place of contrition? How are they ever going to see it? How is Jesus Christ ever going to be able to get in there and get them what they need to see? Rip that heart out of their chest and say, here, look at this. It's what it takes. I know the Romans road and all that. I'm not into all that, you know, stuff there. I believe, you know what it takes? It takes a miracle of God to take and get inside a person's heart and pull that thing out and show it to them so they can see it and go, oh my goodness. They have to see it the way God sees it.
Right.
And the way they're going to see that is there's some faithful men are going to get up here and preach this Bible. You know, and I'm not saying this to brag on anything, and I thank God for what He's doing in my life.
Amen.
Never in a million years would I ever dream that the Lord would allow me to preach His Word in a church. But when I go out there, I go out there on my own free will. Nobody's putting gas in my tank. Nobody's helping me with my bills at home. But I go out there because I know there's a hope for somebody. How do I know there's a hope for somebody? Because I have that hope. And His name is Jesus Christ. He's the one who brought me where I am today. He's the one who's got me right here today. Not myself. I could never have done it on my own. I wanted to run to a psychiatrist and a psychologist and the drug dealer and the dope man and my homies and all that. That's what I ran to. That's what I ran to try to get help.
Sure.
Got me in the same place over and over again. Jail, prison, mental hospital. Jail, prison, mental hospital. Jail, prison, mental hospital. Over and over and over. It did me wonderful. Just to let you know, since I've gotten Jesus, I have not been to those places. August 16th, I'm going to take the jail. You got to take a little class there to get in there. And I'm going to preach to them guys now. Hey, that's something. Hey, you know what? You know, I just got to give a little story here, a testimony of what Jesus Christ done. It's my one of the guards that's a prison guard. That's my prison guard. Now is my next door neighbor, and I've been able to witness this.
Amen.
You want that, young people? Are you looking at the older people and saying, well, I wasn't never that bad? Let me just tell you something. If you understood what God thought of you today, I don't think you'd have a problem repenting. But then again, some of you have gotten such a stiff neck and a hard heart, suddenly the destruction is going to come. I know it can't happen to you. You're right. As God is my witness today, it can very well happen to anybody sitting in this room.
Believe it.
But God doesn't want that. It's not His will that any should perish. All should come to repentance. That's all. It means all, everybody. All should come to repentance. I thank God that He granted me repentance, brother. He gave me a new life. I'm not a perfect. I can't walk on water. I don't have an S on my chest. Bullets don't bounce off me, though. Sometimes I feel like I want to be that way, but I'm not. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to guide me and direct me in every bit of my life. You're looking at a person who had no clue how to run a life. And the miracle God has created and given me, a new life. A new life. He's teaching me. Teaching me to love this Bible. Why? Because there's some men that I know that aren't afraid to get up and tell me what I need to hear. You think that I just sit there, well, you know, he's a Sunday school teacher, he preaches at 1 o'clock. Do you think that I don't need Bible anymore? Do you think I don't need preaching anymore? God forbid if anybody ever had that thought in their head. I'm glad I get preached to. I'm glad there's some men that stand up here and tell me these things. I'm glad that I sit at home hours and hours and study my Bible. Why? Because I need it, man. I'm a human being. I'm in the flesh. I can show you how to destroy your life pretty quickly. If not, I'm not full of this. But I thank God. I thank God He's filling me full of His Word. He's given me new desires, a new heart. Why? Because people, I'm in church where people aren't afraid to tell you what it's really about. If you get offended by it, when you walk at home, think of why you were offended. What made you mad about that? What made you mad? Most of the time, it's because it's the truth. 99.9% of the time, it's because it's the truth. But used to, you know, I'll tell you the very thing that pastor used to call me. They used to get, it made my skin crawl. He said, "Dale, you're nothing but a godless wimp." Gang member, straight fighter. I'm ready to tear somebody's head off their shoulder. But you know what he told me? The truth.
That's right.
I had to eat that.
Yeah. Mm.
I had to eat that. You're just, you know why? First of all, you know, I was on and off again about the King James Bible, but he would hear things that I would say to my wife.
You're a godless wimp. You're a spineless wimp. Good.
What? But I ask her. I would think. I go to her a few hours later. I'd say, "Amy, he's right. That's really what I am." And she'd look at me and go, "What?
Yeah,
that's me. That's what I. He's right. I'm an effeminate, spineless little wimp. And I call my. Consider me a man who can go out there and make all these babies and leave them, and absolutely ruin everything that ever came in contact with me. And I was a man,
right?
A man. Society has got listen, they're males. That's about as far as I'll go with them. I'll keep my mouth clean while I'm up here. They're not men. I tell you, men have been teaching me. Men. Men who are not afraid to love the Lord. Men who are not afraid to preach a King James Bible. Men who are not afraid to say, "Brother, come on, let's go pray together." Like my brother did last night. He walked in the door. He just got done from eating. I said, "Brother, can you pray with us, please?" And him and my wife just stood there and we prayed together. Some men, but when you needed prayer, some men, like our brother back there, I love Cliff Taylor, man. I pray, there's men that I pray for on a daily basis, and brother, you are one of them. Why? Because I look up to him. I look up to what he has. I look up to what he speaks. I look up to him because he's not afraid to tell someone the truth. I like that. That's a man. David Vernon, I love him. He'll get up here and say some stuff, and I just love it. Why? Because he's being a man about it. God gave him something on his heart. Not afraid to tell anybody. Stop being afraid to tell people. You know why? Because it just may very well that Jesus Christ used that. And you know what? That person just may come to repentance. They just may get saved.
Right.
Just may. I'm going to close up here in a minute. People need to hear the word of God. Because the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. There's power with this thing. It's going to get in there and it's going to show people what they are. It's going to split them and they're going to see, "Oh my goodness." I remember when God started showing me about who I really was, and I almost couldn't face it. I could not believe, man, that's... I would have to take a step back and go, "Mike, that's me? That's really who I am?" But with all the pills, psychotropic medicines, alcohol, drugs, sex, I couldn't see any of that. I was numb to it. It was like a handicap. They made me handicapped so I didn't have to face what I really was. And then I was able for the first time when the psychiatrist said to me, "There's nothing else I can do for you anymore, Mr. Moore." My wife was sitting there when he said it. That's what Jesus Christ said, "But I can."
Amen.
"But I can."
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a testimony of a few things that happened to me the night I got saved. Number one, my conscience was absolutely clear for the first time in my life. Number two, just a few short hours after I got saved, I asked my wife. I was a very angry person, very angry. They would keep my anger under control with all kinds of medicines. I was off the medicine by the time I got saved. But for the first time in my life, I realized I'm getting angry. I can stop it. I knew when I was getting angry for the first time in my life. I said, "Oh my gosh, I'm getting mad. I can stop this." I can stop my friggin' realized that. I said, oh, thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I may lose a lot of sleep because of my physical, but I don't lose any sleep because of anything I'm doing. And if I do, it's just the Lord trying to tell me, hey, we need to get things right. I need you to go a step further with me. I need you to trust me. I'm going to bring you somewhere. You got to trust me. Something the Lord gave me real quick, and I'm going to close with this. You know why people don't trust Jesus? Because they see him as a mere man. They see him as another person who's waiting to hurt them. They don't see him as God. They do not see Jesus Christ as God, because if they did, they would trust him and understand, wait, he's not here to hurt me, he's here to help me. That's one of the things that kept me from Jesus. I said, he's nothing but a man. Oh no. People need to see him for God. Because when they see him for God, then they're going to trust him for their salvation. They're going to trust him for what can happen. They're going to trust him to deliver him from that anger. They're going to trust him to deliver him from that dirty conscience. They're going to trust him to clean them up. Listen, my outside has nothing to do with me being saved. But it is a reflection of what happened in my heart. I got cleaned up. You know, a lot of people look good on the outside, brother, but Jesus Christ says they're full of dead men's bones. I don't care what you look like on the outside.
Right.
What's on the inside?
Good.
Ezekiel talks about the bones that are laying around, and God starts putting all the sinew and the muscles back in place and puts his skin back over. But they were still dead. Mm-hmm. Looked real good on the outside, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Come on. Right.
When God breathed in,
yes.
He gave life. Them things came alive.
Yeah.
Most of our churches are just dead bones sitting in a church pew. Looks good in the skin. Skin looks real good. But they have yet had God breathe on them. They refuse to let God breathe on them. They refuse to let God show them what they are. It's a hurtful, painful thing. But I'm telling you now, you'll have such deliverance in your life. It's a miracle. I mean, an absolute miracle of what goes on in my heart and my mind from this day forward. A miracle that I can come in here and hear some hard preaching and realize God has touched me on some things and take that serious. I don't take what the Lord's been teaching me here this week very lightly. I don't take that lightly. That's a very serious matter. If God is touching you about something, if the Lord is trying to show you something about yourself, I'm telling you now, don't take it as a light thing. And I'm just telling you now, if a man is telling you something different, get in this. This will lead you in the right direction. If you have some man who's too afraid to get up here and tell you the truth about it, then you get in it yourself and let God tell you about it, because he's not afraid to tell you what you are. You want to find out what you are? You want to find out what God thinks of you? Right here. He's not afraid to tell you.
Right.
Just, brothers and sisters, pray that we get some men who are not afraid to go out there and say what needs to be said. Brother, I'm done, brother.
Amen.